to Plot Twist I Forgot. I am Davin.
I am Laura.
And welcome back to our new yearly tradition of reading very unhinged romance books that probably should be a crime against the world.
They are so many crimes my eyes have seen. We should do an advisory at the top of the episode, I guess, because we're going to have to mark this explicit.
Yeah, we are. So
this podcast may contain graphic and explicit content unsuitable for some listeners. Listener discretion.
I'm that listener.
Is advised. I was not... So I went down a route, right? Because I had said, oh, it's this. And this was based off of my love of Netflix's cinematic masterpiece, Hot Frosty, in which a woman puts a magical scarf on a snowman. And the snowman comes to life and does her house chores until he becomes a real boy. And I thought that would be fun. So I looked for something in that vein and I found a book called Holy Knit, in which a woman knits herself a boyfriend after the passing of her grandmother. And then I thought to myself, I can do better.
Oh, okay. So we didn't. When you said knitting, I was terrified.
No, it's so much worse than that.
Oh,
what
great.
I found.
Okay.
Would you like me to start or would you like to start?
You can start.
All right. So today, we listen and we don't judge as I describe the erotic short story of Conquered by Clippy.
I really hate it because I don't know what Clippy is.
That's because you're a young person. Clippy.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You're talking about the Microsoft Clip?
The Microsoft Paperclip.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
This book, I have so many follow-up questions. Continue.
This book is by Leonard Delaney. Mm-hmm. It is quite possibly the funniest thing I have ever read in my entire life. I laughed from beginning to end.
Okay.
Our main character's name is Christy. And Christy gets an email from Phil Gates.
Okay, sure.
Saying, I read your blog, because this is the second book in the series. The first book is Taken by Tetris Blocks.
That sounds uncomfortable and it would cause bruises.
It does. And Phil Gates says, I read your first blog and I know that your relationships with inanimate objects could help me.
So this isn't the first time she's done this.
We have discovered an ancient alien artifact in the middle of nowhere in a dangerous location, and we need you.
A Microsoft paperclip? Okay.
We need you to help us. And so Christy says, of course, I'm in. I can't wait to see this ancient alien artifact. And so she gets on a helicopter with Phil. They call it a chopper. They call it a helicopter. They call it a bunch of things that the writing is amazing.
I have a question. Has she met Phil before? Or is she just like, yeah, I'll go, and then hops on a helicopter with him, apparently?
If you get an email from Phil Gates, CEO of Contoso Corporation, you go. Okay?
No, you don't. Okay. Sure.
And they get in the helicopter, and oh no, the helicopter crashes in the middle of Silicon Valley.
Of course it does, because you got an off-brand helicopter. What did you expect?
And they're like, it's okay, because we're still near the artifact. We'll just walk over. So they go to the artifact, and they look at it, and it's a tube in the shape of a cross. And Phil says, it's a cross? Are we dealing with an ancient Christian alien cult?
Uh-huh.
Sure they are. So they go inside, and a being comes to life when they come inside next to a big W. Oh.
Okay.
And the being says, I'm Clippy, your office assistant. Would you like some assistance today?
I hate everything.
And Christy is like, wow, this giant paperclip is super annoying. Why does he keep asking for my help? Oh no, wait, one of my highlighted things got away. A small portion of her annoyance at the situation has somehow turned into excitement, and she got a brief thrill from having Clippy's inhuman eyes exploring her body.
Ew.
So they go through this thing, right? And there's like a pit. And they're like, uh-oh. And Clippy's like, would you like me to assist you over? And she flips over the pit because she's a Lara Croft Tomb Raider, lover of inanimate objects, and she doesn't need you. and Clippy's like, well, I'll help Phil then. And he helps Phil over the pit. And when they get there, there's, well, before that happens, Phil Gates is like, hey, Christy, I'm feeling like maybe there's something here.
Oh, no. This is why you don't get on a helicopter with someone you don't know.
Exactly. And Christy is like, no. And so Clippy makes some comments about how Phil is probably sad that Christy doesn't want to kiss him. And they get to this server room. And there's, like, a bunch of big servers. And the ground is unstable. And they start collapsing. And they all fall on Phil.
Oh, and poor Phil.
And Phil dies.
I was going to say, does he die?
And it's at that point that Christy says, okay, Clippy, I do need your assistance. And Clippy helps her out of the crushing server situation. And she says, Clippy, thank you for saving me. Too bad about Phil.
Oh, no. It would have been better if he was like, hey, do you want me to resurrect Phil? Like, that could have been a plot.
Instead,
line.
Clippy says, it's probably how he wanted to die.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, wait. So he's literally a giant? Like, was he the cross thing?
And he was inside the giant cross thing, and then he just came to life.
Okay, but he is a physical paperclip.
He is a physical paperclip, a big giant paperclip.
How tall?
Devin, this is a 60-page novel.
I have questions.
I don't know how tall Clippy is, but after he assists Christy, he's feeling a little tension, Clippy is. And Christy looks down and she sees that the loose end of the middle of Clippy's coil is sticking out.
Ew.
It's glowing red at the end. Clippy.
That sounds like an infection.
Has a boner. An actual a sentence I just read from this work of art to you.
Oh, that's a verbatim quote.
Uh-huh.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, nice. That's a verbatim quote. And then he says, I'm micro hard.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then Christy, again, this is word for word plagiarism. I'm just reading it. Christy, her own human body part, parentheses, vagina, felt hot too.
That's how he wrote it? Has this man ever seen one? I'm so confused.
I don't think so.
What was the necessary, like, why write it like that?
Because her human body part. Because this is hilarious. I can't tell you, I read this 60 pages and cackle laughed for like a full 15 minutes as I was reading it. Anyway, Clippy unravels fully.
Oh, no, he does not.
Uh-huh.
In this economy.
Uh-huh. He does. And she can see a light glowing at her sternum.
A light glowing at her sternum?
Uh-huh. Because Clippy goes inside all the way up to her sternum. And she lives.
Ew.
And everything's fine.
That's very inaccurate.
And then she says, yes, Clippy, assist me. Assist me harder.
No thanks. I'd rather never see you again. Stop touching me. You weird alien paperclip.
At one point, Clippy says, can I assist you using butt stuff?
Verbatim. No, he does not.
Yeah, he does. Clippy says that.
Oh, no. And Christy's, of course you can.
Yeah. There's a line in here that says, she hoped this didn't make her pregnant again. So apparently the Tetris blocks got her pregnant before, which is fantastic.
Sure,
so,
it did.
After that, Christy's like, wow, this has been great. And she looks around and finds out that everything around her spells Contoso. And that's the company that she was working for. And she was like, I was tricked into this. This is a testing facility. Phil Gates was AI the whole time.
What? Does this just come out of the blue? This makes no sense. What is going on?
He was Friendly Phil with a PH, a robot, and Christy finds this out, and she's like, this is ridiculous, and hikes home.
And that's the end of the book?
Well, in the epilogue, she does a write-up on this situation about how there are sex robots, and Clippy escapes because humanity needs his assistance. That's the last line. Clippy climbs out of the tunnels and goes to help humanity. So that's the end of the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an author's note that's like, you've made it this far. Since you're so obsessed with me.
Nice.
Here's my next story.
Oh, no.
And it is Humping the Ham Bandit. And if that's not clear to you, it's a Hamburglar romance. And yes, Ronald McDonald does make an appearance, but all names are changed due to copyright infringement.
No way.
Yeah, they do a heist together.
Wait, do Ronald McDonald and the Hamburglar get together?
No.
Oh, it's someone else?
There's a woman called Emmy. I did not read it. I just wanted to talk about it. Hand over the hamburgers and it'll hurt less. That's out of context, but scary.
Yeah, that is. I think in context, that's probably still scary.
Yeah. So I love this person. I don't know. I love them more than words can say. I laughed so hard. This is a whole series. The next in the book is Invaded by the Eyewatch.
Oh, God.
Which I will not be reading, but but I am obsessed, and I'm so glad that I read this book, because it was the funniest thing I've read ever.
I can't get over the I am micro hard line.
I am micro hard.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I have so many questions for this person. I wonder if their Instagram is as good as Chuck Tingle's.
I don't know. I did not look them up, because I did read this morning at 6 a.m. So,
oh, nice.
That was a really fun wake up.
What does the cover look like?
They're Chuck Tingle-esque. Clippy is there. There's a woman in a thong.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's
Digital Desires.
Uh-huh. Chrissy loves to get it on with technology, is what it says.
Oh, no. Oh, there's even one. The office photocopier wants to have sex with me.
I bet it does, though.
Ridden by an Uber.
Ew. Oh, happy Valentine's Day!
Oh, no. Okay. Well, I guess it's my turn. And I don't want to tell you the title because I want you to be surprised as to what these things are.
I love surprises. I can't wait.
Okay. So for some reason, we don't know the town name that they're in, but we know another town she goes to. But our main character is Jetta. And when we meet her, she is waking up with the moon because she's a witch and she does all her work at night.
Excellent.
And usually she talks about how, oh, I get up and I go for a run and I meditate under the moon, but I cannot do that anymore because there's a new donut shop down the street that opened up and I hate donuts.
Who hates donuts?
She also hates pizza and sugar and anything good for you. Good for your soul. So, I don't know. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Jetta because she has their empty calories, but I'm like, enjoy your life.
Jetta sounds boring.
So she's interesting, but the smell of donuts wakes her up and puts her in a bad mood. And to top it all off, her boss is making her take time off so she can't even go to the office to get away from that terrible donut smell. She has to stay at home for 2 weeks. Wah, wah, wah. So
I don't like Jetta.
So she wakes up and she goes to this town that is like an hour away just to get away from the smell. But even though she doesn't like even like cafes, she like stumbles across one too. And is like, there's like this big crowd out there. There's a pony or a horse or something. And it transforms into a woman because they're shifters. So this woman is like a pony shifter or something. And her name is Nephrite. And they have this whole encounter where, like, Jetta's trying to go in, and Nephrite's like, no, 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 it's not open yet. You don't get to go in. And they're having this whole weird conversation where they also then, like, bond over smells they don't like. So there's literally a quote because she's talking about how, like, also it's important you know that the donut shop's name is the Squishy Shifters Donut Emporium.
I don't think it's important that I know that. Squishy?
No, it really is, because Squishy is said about 75 times in this book, and it is the most wild thing ever. So she has this quote that says, so they're just talking about how, like, oh, you know, Nephrite doesn't like the smell of potpourri, which her ex-boyfriend used to, you know, light all the time. So she says, we lapse into a silence of mutual understanding. Men stink. Some reek of potpourri and others reek of donuts. The only redeeming quality is that they're hot, but I doubt the squishy shifters have that going for them.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, Jetta is just, like, hates everything. Okay, so she, Nephrite, like, feels bad or whatever, so she takes her into the coffee shop, and there's, like, magic all over in this world. It's very common to the point where, like, she walks in and mugs are dancing on the counter because they're doing a fashion show to help Jenny's spirit move on to the afterlife. And one of the cups is in a bikini.
Ah, amazing. What a whimsical mind, you know?
And also, if it didn't get better, there is an espresso machine named Diva, and she talks.
Of course there is.
So she gives Jetta a free drink, and Jetta takes a sip and is like, is this spelled? Because I guess in this coffee shop, they have different drinks where, like, there's, like, mood-changing tea and coffees that will cure a hangover or change your hair color, or it's just not normal coffee. But here's the thing. Jetta has a very... The reason she worked for this, like, witch government agency or something, and the reason she was recruited
I'm
was...
I'm so scared.
This is only, like, half the story. There's, like, three other characters I need to introduce you to. It was just... The way it was told was really... kind of choppy and short chapter, so I'm trying to run a weave this together, okay? So she takes a sip, and it's a pumpkin spice latte, and she's like, ugh.
Wait, why is she working for this company? Sorry, I cut you off because I thought it was going to be something scary and terrible.
No, it's no. So she can, like, she's more susceptible to spells in a way where, like, even if it's a really, really small spell, she will feel it immediately. And, like, 10 times stronger than someone else will, whereas, like, someone else, it could take years before they act on whatever the spell is, like, trying to do. So, she takes a sip and is like, I must go home. And she's like, I don't know why I need to go home, but I'm driving towards home and the Squishy Shifter's Donut Emporium, and I don't know what's going on, but I know it's big.
So, oh, no, not big.
Okay, so now we have to introduce you to who owns the donut shop, and it is three friends, York, Andres, and Brooks, okay? Now, it is so important that you know that they are super buff.
No.
But they don't work out at a gym. They're soft from, like, kneading dough and carrying all the boxes and inventory and equipment in, but when, like, they do go to a gym...
Like PETA.
Yes,
exactly. PETA's ripped from throwing sacks of flour.
Exactly, same thing. But if they do step foot in a gym, then, like, they can outlift anybody because, you know, of course they can. And they all have a reason. Like, they love the fact that they own a donut shop. And York, so you get, like, a POV of each of these guys, and York eats a couple of dozen donuts a day, but is still ripped.
Good for him.
As hell. And he just loves them so much that he, as a kid, would go to bakeries all the time and spend all his allowance on donuts and pastries. So, like, of course, in homeroom one day, he would shift into a donut, and everyone's like, woo, you're a donut shifter.
Okay. What? A donut shifter?
Yes, he shifts into a donut.
What good is that? Like, I guess you can roll away from a fight, but then debris will get stuck in your icing. So, I guess there's no benefit to that. I don't...
And what's funny, too, is that I think... So, they all have, like, one of them, and I think it's York. He'll shift anytime he laughs. And then there's another one who's a sympathetic shifter. So, if one of them shifts, he shifts.
I'm a sympathetic crier. I get that.
Okay. So York is a jelly donut.
Cool.
That's what he shifts into.
Oh god. Oh no. All right. Can't wait to see how that comes up later.
And then Brooks, he's the sympathetic shifter. Do you want to guess what he turns into?
Are they all pastries or?
They're pastry related, yeah.
I'm so sad. A French baguette.
Good guess, but no.
Okay.
Still like more sweets.
Oh.
Well, no, I guess it could be like, you don't know what kind it is, so you're, I don't know.
Croissant.
No.
All right, I'm out.
Dough.
Oh, just dough.
Just dough. So he goes from being a really hot man just to a blob of dough.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then Andra's is a stress toy that is round, blue, and has a hole in the middle. So he's a stress ball of a dessert.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, okay, that's basically what happens in their chapters. And they just talk about how much they love donuts and that they get to work together and, you know, they share everything. So Jetta, we're back to her, and she is finally at the donut shop. She like pulls into the back and runs inside, and she looks at Brooks and calls him the sexiest lump of dough she has ever seen.
I mean, yeah, obviously.
Because guess what kind of spell was in the coffee? A fated mate spell.
Oh God, kill me. Okay.
So she walks in and is like, oh my gosh, my mates are donuts, because she's not mated just to one of them.
It's all three of them?
All three of them. All three of them.
Here's the thing. If I had a fated mate spell, mm-hmm. and my fated mate was a lump of dough.
But it's the sexiest lump of dough you've ever seen.
I don't. But there are so many other things. Not the eyebrows.
So she storms in, and Andres calls Jetta a sexiest donuts goddess. So that's fun. And she like literally screams and is like, not donuts. Like that was really something she said. And they're like, you hate us and everything that we are. Like, how can we, what do you mean? This is weird. And I guess they're a type of shifter called, I think, Bayans, who shift into inanimate objects that are important to them in their teens. Like they're meaningful objects to them. Hence the ball of dough and donut.
Big dog, situation. What were you doing to that ball of dough that made it so significant to your teenage years?
Okay. So there was backstory for him where he's the one who bakes all the donuts, and he used to bake with his mom all the time. So okay. It was like,
well, that's nice.
Yeah, but you know, now it's sex dough.
No, no, it's not.
So there's like a random throwaway line at the beginning where like she hates the donuts. Smell of donuts so much that she had like mailed them letters that was like, come have a witch, you know, do a spell to take the scent away so that you're not driving away all these people from their homes, whereas it's just her psycho ass that's like, I hate the smell of donuts, because the guys are like, everyone, like, that's why people are coming in, is because our donuts smell so good,
right?
And then
I'm on their side.
One of the guys realizes who she is and is like, how could we ever love her when she hates me and everything that we've tried to do? And, you know, she talks about how, I hate donuts, though. Like, she's like, yeah, they're hot, because they end up, like, shifting back into their hot human forms. And then York, in addition to being a jelly donut and lifting stuff, he also knows just how to make sure, like, he knows what kind of donut someone needs in their life. Like, anytime, any moment, he can recommend you the best donut.
That's actually a pretty good gift.
And he's like, no, Jetta, you don't hate donuts. I promise you don't hate donuts. And she's like, but I do. He's like, no, Jetta, trust me, you don't.
Oh, God.
And he, like, dips his finger into, like, some jelly and, like, puts it, and then it gets sexual. And I'm going to spare you quite a lot, but just know that there's a lot of rubbing of donuts on body parts.
No.
And which I think would cause real yeast
infections. Exactly. That's exactly what my mind thought.
So they're just like rubbing donuts everywhere all the time. And they live Happily Ever After, but I think I have some quotes for you that I can potentially read that are also just as
thank God
terrifying. Let's see. What are... Oh, yes. Okay. So now she's a changed woman because she realizes that she doesn't hate donuts. I always thought I hated donuts. I always thought desserts were just empty calories. Now I finally understand. Donuts bring people pleasure. They can bring me pleasure, as long as I'm not the one eating them.
Get away from me.
Doesn't she just sound like someone you want to be friends with?
No, I want to punch her in the face.
Yeah, same. Same, same. Let's see what else we have. Oh, yes. My friends and I share a business. We share a house. We share everything, so it makes sense that we'd share a mate, too.
No.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to read you this one.
Why? Is it horrible?
It's kind of dirty.
Oh, okay. Well, I said micro hard. And that's going to be on the internet forever.
Oh, no. Okay. Let's see. I think this is from York's. Oh, no. We're in Brooks' POV. So, I want to bake all my favorite treats, rub them all over Jetta's naked body, and lick her clean. I want to try different recipes just to see how they taste on her nipples and clit.
Ew!
That would make my life complete. Again... infections.
They want her to end up in the hospital is what they want.
Yeah. I don't know, she's a witch, maybe her body can handle
she's just
it.
Like ooh, that's her whatever. That's her special gift,
that's her magical power. Yeah. And then there's a last one I'll leave you with. Somehow implicitly I know which donut should go where on Jetta's body.
Ew.
Just like I know which one of us should be the one to lick it off. And we're talking all kinds of donuts, like toasted coconut was mentioned, glaze, there's some other ones. And yeah, ta-da,
what's the title?
Oh yeah, I never done, that's it. I know, it's called Her Donut Shifters by Mia Harlan.
Beautiful.
And it's part of a series. I was gonna make you like choose somehow subtly, because her other one is about pastries. Like cannolis and
if you things. Sent me a message that was like, hey, would you rather have a donut or a cannoli?
That's what I was gonna do. Like,
and
if
then
you had to pick,
you read
these.
Me this.
You'd never be able to eat them again.
Oh no. I read
God
another one
Reddit.
Devin,
you read another one?
I read another one.
Oh my God, I didn't expect this. Okay,
I read another one because I read that one and it was like, hey, if you enjoyed that, I got something else.
Here's
for you.
Another nightmare for you to do.
And let's see if you can guess. This okay. is a book by Helena Woodcock.
It's yeah, it is.
A steamed short. And the tagline is, he's got the juice. What do you think this is about? Mm-mm. It's a viral internet sensation is where that he's got the juice came from. A child says it.
Well, I feel like he got the juice reminds me of like orange juice. Like...
Mm. No, for me, I really like corn. And this is a story called Corn Daddy.
No, it's not.
It is. I don't remember the lady's name again. Hold on, let me go find it.
Helena Woodcock, Corn Daddy. How yep. poetic.
Oh, the main character's name is Liz, okay?
Okay.
And Liz admittedly dates fuckboys. It's her thing. Right now, she's dating one called Chaz. First of all,
of course she is.
Never do that. Second of all, they're supposed to go to this corn maze together. And Chaz doesn't show up. And she's like, you know what? I already bought my ticket because I knew he was going to let me down. I'm going in this corn maze by myself. But first, I need a snack. And so she gets an apple and she's talking to the apple vendor. And the apple vendor has a handlebar mustache. And she's like, I bet he brews his own kombucha, which I think was rude of her.
How dare you stereotype, Liz?
Exactly.
Gosh.
And she's like, well, I don't like things too sweet. And he's like, well, I can adapt it to your sweetness level because we're a, I don't know, organic pop-up and we have sugar juice that goes into the fruit's skin or whatever. He's like, but it seems like you, I don't remember what exactly he calls it. It's like the poison kiss of death apple. And it's a Granny Smith apple dipped in sugar. And she takes that with her. No thoughts given. And... goes into the corn maze. And there are a bunch of scarecrows that have signs that say, what did they say? I don't know. Are you lost? Are you lost? They all say, are you lost? There are three rules to the corn maze, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stay on the path, don't pick the corn, and have fun.
Oh, yay.
Yay. Okay. So she's going, and she keeps seeing these scarecrows, and she's like, I don't need help. I'm not lost. I'm a seasoned corn maze pro. I don't need you. Okay. She gets lost, though.
Of course she does.
And she can't find her way out, and she's like, oh, it must be low blood sugar. I'll take a bite of my apple. And she's like, oh, he wasn't kidding. This is really sour. And I don't really know why that is in the book at all, but I wanted to tell you about it.
Okay.
So, so she's feeling better, and she keeps going, and then she gets frustrated again because she's still lost, and she grabs an ear of corn, and she breaks it off the stalk.
Oh, no, sounds like something bad's going to happen now.
And then a fog rolls in, and as she's, like, feeling very sleepy.
What is this, like, sleepy, the Hellraiser of corn?
Yes, Davin. As she's getting very sleepy, she thinks, oh, the apple must have been poison. Clunk. She's out. When she wakes up, she is suspended in the air.
No, she's not.
Her arms are lashed to a cross, and she can smell dirt. Mm-hmm. And she looks around her surroundings, and she's in what appears to be a dirt cave. There's dirt on the walls, and her ankles are bound. And she says, uh-oh.
That's it? Uh-oh.
Like, dude, I don't remember what she actually says. But she's like, oh, I've seen too many true crime things to happen to me.
You went to a corn maze by yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
And then she sees a hulking figure in the shadows of the cave thingy hut that she's in. And the man, the figure, walks over, and she looks at his legs, and they're very muscular, but it appears that he is wearing leaves as clothes. The leaves cover his feet. It looks like he's wearing work boots, but past that, leaves covering everything else up to his torso. And she thinks to herself, wow, he's ripped. Perhaps I'm into this.
Okay, I've been kidnapped, but yeah, I could get down with it. No.
It's fine. And the man says, you broke the rules of the corn maze, and now I'm going to punish you. And she's like, bro, if you're going to kill me, just kill me. I'm very bored with all of this. And he's like, no, no, I don't want to kill you. I want to take you as my queen.
I'm sorry, you broke the rules, and now you're going to go be corn queen?
Yes. He says, okay. You can call me daddy.
No, I cannot. Zero shot in hell that's happening, but go ahead.
And then there's, like, a whole, like, dominating thing that goes on, and there's...
So is he actually made of corn, or is he, like, a human dude?
You need to think of him as, like, a corn god. So he's...
No, I do not.
He's vegetal, for sure, but also...
I hate that word.
Kind of a man. We'll get there. Anyway,
okay.
So they do some stuff, and she's like, listen, I'd love to sleep with you, but I will not be your queen. And he's like, all right, fine, and sets her free.
Okay.
But she's like, whatever, and he makes her, because he has stripped her naked, he makes her a dress out of corn husks.
Nice. Sounds comfortable.
Sends her on her way, and she's like, grateful, but kind of disappointed, because she did want to sleep with Corn Daddy. And she didn't get to, because she wouldn't be his queen. So she went home, and the next day, she goes to the farmer's market. And she's like, you know what? I don't need him. And she buys an ear of corn.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she does. And she goes home, and she shucks it, and she's like, you know what? I gotta boil this, because I don't want worms. And she's right. You don't want worms. And then she proceeds to attempt...
No.
...with the corn cob. But she just can't...
This is a crime, Helena Woodcock. What the actual fuck?
But she just can't get there. And she can't stop thinking about Corn Daddy. So she decides that perhaps she can be his queen. And she goes back to the corn maze. And when she gets there, he's not, like, waiting for her. So she goes in the corn maze and she's like, I know, I'll tease him. So she takes off her shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's running through the corn maze topless.
why not just pull down the corn like you did the first time, babe? That's how you did it.
I don't know. She might do that. At this point, I was nearing insanity, so I can't very clearly remember. At some point, she, like, steps in mud and falls down, and that's when Corn Daddy arrives. And this is when things get horrible. If you thought they were horrible...
because it's been pleasant already.
Right. If you thought they were horrible before, it's about to get so much worse, because this is when she actually sees it.
Oh, no, I was very scared for this part.
And it is a giant ear of corn. And it's butter. The ending is butter.
Okay.
And so she's covered in butter.
Gross.
And then they go back to his hut, and they consummate their new common law of marriage, and she is queen of the corn people now. And then there's a mention of, like, missing persons reports about her, and she's just like, Corn Daddy, ha ha ha, I feel our little corn swimming.
Ew.
And that's it.
Oh, well, that's nightmare fuel.
So, I'll never be the same.
Will you ever eat butter again?
Not movie theater butter. That's been ruined.
Yikes.
Liquid butter is off the table. Now I'm going to remove this from my Kindle. And I'm going to sage it.
You're going to get some weird recommendations for a while.
I know. Last year when I read all those utensil stories, it was... it was pretty brutal.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I found mine off Reddit, and there were some other really funny ones. I think one had to do with a praying mantis. And
yeah.
I said,
and she rips the heads off all of her partners. I saw that, too.
That sounds about right. Or about El Nino. There was one about El Nino.
I would love to know the logistics of that, but also I'd rather die than know. So.
Well, the title is El Nino Comes. So.
Oh, God. No.
And on that note, we hope you have enjoyed this.
Everybody tell Devin happy birthday.
You know what's so funny? Does this come out on my birthday? No, it's the week before.
Very close.
Yeah, this will come out the week before my birthday, but still close enough. Too Damn. Close for comfort.
Damn. You're too close. So close.
That is okay. Yes, our yearly Laura's birthday present to me is torturing me with these really weird books. You know, I almost read Have you seen Jack by Layla someone, where it's like a jack-o'-lantern?
No, but I did see Halloween.
Okay, no thank you. That one is not happening. I also found one about a unicorn shifter.
I found one. I wish I could remember what it was. I think it was a narwhal shifter. And, like, the one... I don't remember what he was. He was an omega, I don't know, platypus shifter. And he was going to work... I made that up. I don't remember what he is. And he was going to work in the dentist office of the narwhal shifter. But that one was an M-preg, and I'm just not... I can't.
No, thank you. Gross. But can I entice you with the centipede's mate?
No.
Are you sure?
I would rather read the one about the narwhal shifter. Yeah, I'm positive.
Or how about Santa Claus is going to town on me?
No! Santa Claus is married, okay? That's...
Well, if you wanted to know, it's glittery and tastes like candy canes.
I hate my life. I hate planet Earth.
I do, but not for this reason. That was kind of funny. Oh, yeah. Unicorn shapeshifter man. Shifter's destiny.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Bye.
And peace. No. You know, if you like to read these kind of weird erotic books, and I don't say weird in like a shameful way, but they're just weird books.
They're weird, and it's so funny. That's why we keep doing this. Like, I shame no one.
It is really funny.
It's hilarious. And Conquered by Clippy only has 3 stars, and I don't know why, because it's so funny. It's comedic gold.
You need to go leave a 5-star review.
I'm
just no notes. micro hard, and that's it.
Micro hard.
Oh, goodness. Well, tune in 2 weeks where we'll be back with something less traumatizing for the most part.
Kinda.
Well, we have a lot of thoughts. Just tune in. You have to see. And
well, we should tell them so they can read it if they want to.
Oh, that's fair. Okay, so we decided to, because there was no way we could figure out how to make this two-parter. So in 2 weeks, we'll be recapping The Love Hypothesis. So this will be a spoiler chat. If you haven't read it and you want to, I recommend saving the episode until afterward. And then you can listen and chat with us.
The Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood.
There it is. Yes, Allie Hazelwood. My first Allie Hazelwood.
Same.
And yes, follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot on Instagram. Everything will be in the show notes below, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
And we're sorry. Goodbye.